Truth News Network. He takes care of business every day. A showdown with the truth. Conservative thought, not just talk. TNN, the Truth News Network. Dan Newman.
Hi, everyone. I am Dan Newman, and this is Truth News Network. Today, we're going to describe and introduce you to the ideology of racism. Yes, there certainly is real racism in the world. Everywhere we look, we see and hear someone using that term, racism, or its counterpart, racist. It's used so often that most Americans have actually become numb to it. But we shouldn't be. The word represents the worst kinds of hatred formed in the hearts and minds of people. Some people, thankfully, not all people. Most of those who so loosely sling the word about do so to demean whoever is their target. Sometimes it fits, but most often it is nothing more than just simple name-calling. It's similar to that schoolyard bully most knew in elementary school who tried to bully everyone by calling them names. Sadly, it seems that some Americans in our political system have created a new ideological political system and a new theoretical political party. They do so by bullying those with whom they disagree and put those people in that party. It's called, and we'll continue to use it throughout this show and going forward here at Truth News Network, the Racism Ideology Party, abbreviated RIP. So what is it? Well, let's start with the conversation foundation. Members of this ideology or party are forced there by others based not on facts but on assumptions. For the most part, they are not racist, acting out racism. The racist tag is assigned to them solely for political purposes. And sadly, that label, I'm sad to say, often sticks. It's important to remember this. Just because someone thinks someone else is a racist does not mean that person really is a racist. Racism comes directly from a person's heart. Few, if any, know what's in another's heart. But that doesn't stop those from assuming things about others to put people in a group. You remember something like Hillary did with her basket of deplorables. Let's start with the real definition of racism. There are three examples in Webster's. One, a belief that race is the primary determinant of human traits and capacities, and that racial differences produce an inherent superiority of a particular race. Two, a doctrine or political program based on the assumption of racism and designed to execute its principles. Three, a political or social system founded on racism. Keeping these three definitions of racism in mind, watch and listen closely to Representative Ilhan Omar, who is a Democrat from Minnesota, speaking at a recent press conference. Notice her calling the president racist and that he practices racism, putting her use of those words in the context of what racism, by definition, actually is. Listen closely.
This country was founded on the radical idea that we are created equal and endowed by our Creator with inalienable rights. And yes, we have a long way before we fully live up to those values. It is for this reason, precisely, that we have to take action when a president is openly violating the oath he took to the Constitution of the United States and the core values we aspire to. As Martin Luther King said, all we say to America is, be true to what you say on paper. I believe this is a pivotal moment in our country. The eyes of history is watching us. Right now, the president is carrying out mass deportation raids across this country in each one of our districts. Right now, the president is committing human rights abuses at the border, keeping children in cages, and having human beings drinking out of toilets. This president, who has been credibly accused of committing multiple crimes, including colluding with foreign government to interfere with our election. This is a president who has overseen the most corrupt administration in our history and pursued an agenda to allow millions of Americans to die from a lack of health care while he transfers millions of dollars in tax cuts to corporations. This is a president who has said, grab women by the pussy. This is a president who's called black athletes sons of bitches. This is a president who has called black people who come from black and brown countries shitholes. This is a president who has equated neo-Nazis with those who protest against them in Charlottesville. This is a president who has openly violated the very value our country aspires to uphold: equality under the law, religious liberty, equal protection, and protection from persecution. And to distract from that, he's launching a blatantly racist attack on four duly elected members of the United States of House of Representatives, all of whom are women of color. This is the agenda of white nationalists, whether it is happening in chat rooms or it's happening on national TV, and now it's reached the White House garden. He would love nothing more than to divide our country based on race, religion, gender, orientation, or immigration status, because this is the only way he knows he can prevent the solidarity of us working together across all of our differences. The only way to prevent us confronting the problems our country is facing, whether it is healthcare, climate change, student debt, or our endless wars. This is his plan to pit us against one another. This is how he can continue to enrich his friends and distract us from the detrimental policies that his administration is pushing forth. So we can either continue to enable this president and report on the bile of garbage that comes out of his mouth, or we can hold him accountable to his crimes. We can continue to turn a blind eye of the multiple crimes he's accused of. We can stand while he violates people's basic human rights and the responsibility that his administration has for the deaths of children on our border, or we can take action. I have not made impeachment central to my election or my tenure, but since the day that I'd gotten elected, I'd said to people, it is not if he will be impeached, but when. So it is time for us to stop allowing this president to make a mockery out of our Constitution.
At the core of Representative Omar's retaliatory attack on President Trump is her allegations that the president is racist and promotes racism. Obviously, a series of lies were included in her speech. Specifically, she does as a result of three tweets from the president published last week in which he spoke of Representative Omar, Representative Ocasio-Cortez, and Representative Tlaib regarding their disdain and perceived hatred for the U.S. and what are this country's values. The three representatives, along with Representative Presley, Democrat from Massachusetts, set the world on fire with outrage over his tweets. Thus, their unanimous cries of his racism. So let's look at his tweets. Word for word, here the three are rolled into one paragraph. It starts this way. So interesting to see progressive Democrat congresswomen who originally came from countries whose governments are a complete and total catastrophe, the worst, most corrupt and inept anywhere in the world, if they even have a functioning government at all, now loudly and viciously telling the people of the U.S., the greatest, most powerful country and nation on earth, how our government is to be run. Why don't they go back and help fix the totally broken and crime-infested places from which they came, then come back and show us how it is done? These places need your help badly. You can't leave fast enough. I'm sure that Nancy Pelosi would be very happy to quickly work out free travel arrangements. Those are the president's three tweets put in one paragraph. Since those congresswomen have taken this matter to the world stage, wrapped in the certainty that Donald Trump is a racist and practices continuous racism while serving as U.S. president, let's identify the racism in these tweets from which the U.S. Congress, under the guidance of Speaker Nancy Pelosi, actually passed a reprimand for racist comments against President Trump. Let's look specifically at his racist remarks contained in these tweets. Here they are. Can you believe that? There aren't any of the three definitions from Webster's for racism, all listed above. None of the president's tweets contain any measure or even a hint of racism, and are certainly not racist in their verbiage, or certainly not even in their tone. This is an example of just how leftists have, over the past decade or so, commandeered and taken ownership of the use of the two words racism and racist. The expectation of the left, led by their communications arm of the Democrat Party, the American media, is that whoever one of their members determines and labels as a racist is automatically assumed by all as a member of the Racism Ideology Party, the RIP. Who decides? The rules of racism determination are controlled solely by the left, as is the determination of exactly who is a member of the Racism Ideology Party. So who are the members of that party? Whoever the left name, no matter who they label. And there's no rhyme or understandable meaning they use to determine membership. Here's an example. Former Congressman Robert Byrd, Democrat of West Virginia, in the 1940s recruited 150 of his close friends to start with him a Ku Klux Klan in Sophia, West Virginia. He never formally renounced his affiliation with the KKK or his membership in the Klan. Yet even at his death, after a long and storied career in the House of Representatives, he was the darling of Democrats in the House, the Senate, and even the darling of President Bill Clinton and his wife. Hillary, in her eulogy of Byrd at his funeral, declared he was her mentor. Yet Robert Byrd was not a member of the Racism Ideology Party, RIP. Why not? Because Democratic Party leaders did not choose for him to be enrolled. Here's how it's happening. There is a purpose for the frivolous use by the media of the term racism. I'm not certain who in the media developed the idea of its continual use in stories labeling any conservative in politics, but whoever did so had a specific purpose in mind, and that purpose certainly has been fulfilled. Its use in the news to specifically denigrate the person or group it targets in the minds of the reader, listener, or viewer of that story. They created that ideological party called racism, in which they, with their magical power to do so, cast anyone with whom they disagree. You have certainly heard from left-leaning politicians the use of the term dog whistle, accusing conservatives for using it often. Actually, when used by the media, and it is pretty regularly, the words racism and racist are the dog whistles of the left to formally announce attacks on conservatives who they have thrown into the racism ideology party. Who qualifies as the determiner of these racists? It seems that anyone who is bold enough to stand on a national stage or has a large audience of followers and calls out someone Democrats despise is automatically qualified to be able to do so. They can point a finger. They're Democrats. Take, for example, the fourth member of that group from Congress that has been named the Squad, Ayanna Pressley. She's a Democrat representative from Massachusetts. She joined the Squad.
Yes, I do quote Shirley Chisholm a lot, who said, if they don't give you a seat at the table, bring your own folding chair. But I've amended that because I don't want to bring a chair to an old table. This is the time to shake the table. This is the time to redefine that table. Because if you're going to come to this table, and for all of you that have aspirations of running for office, for whatever lived experience and identity that you represent, if you are not prepared to come to that table and to represent that voice, don't come. Because we don't need any more brown faces that don't want to be a brown voice. We don't need black faces that don't want to be a black voice. We don't need Muslims that don't want to be a Muslim voice. We don't need queers that don't want to be a queer voice.
Come on, speak it. And if you're worried about being marginalized and stereotyped, please don't even show up. Because we need you to represent that voice. The midterm elections of 2018, they spoke a lot about each of our magic. I would never give short shrift to any of our magic, but this is work, and we put it in every day.
Here are her words again. One sentence, actually a couple of sentences that are really applicable. Quote, "We don't need any more brown faces that don't want to be a brown voice. We don't need black faces that don't want to be a black voice. We don't need Muslims that don't want to be a Muslim voice. We don't need queers that don't want to be a queer voice." Are her statements in which she labels those with brown or black faces, Muslims and queers, her words, not mine, who do not necessarily agree with the leftist propaganda policies of the day, as being something less than those in her group who think like her, who believe like her, less than she and those who feel the same as she feels? What a paradox. These leftists are destroying the fundamentals of the U.S. Constitution with their cries against fellow Americans. They are smarter than everybody else, better than everyone else, more in tune with what things are important than are others, and therefore, they are more honorable and more worthy to lead the nation than anyone else. Do you know the real reason for the use of the allegation of racism 99% of the time it's used? It's a simple deferral. A deferral of a conversation in which people honestly and objectively could discuss and explain their differences about specific policies which impact different groups in different ways. Calling someone a racist is a cop-out. It's too much work to consider others' ideas, so they'll just stick to their own. Here's their thought process. It goes like this. I don't want to take the time to try to convince him or her that their opinions of me, my capabilities, my intentions are accurate. I don't want to take the time to explain what my capabilities and intentions are. They are not worthy of the effort for me to do so. Also, I'm afraid that if I do explain to them and they counter with an opinion that rings true and mine is not true, I'm not going to allow that to happen. So I'll just shut them up by telling everyone they are racist. Then they can say nothing. For conservatives who see and hear this anger and vitriol flooding the news, don't worry. Don't fret. I'll say this again. Americans are not stupid. Americans in the districts of these four congresswomen are seeing and hearing what they're saying the same way and same time we are. And voters also see and know personally the personal results of President Trump's actions in governing the first 2.5 years of his presidency. And on almost every count, folks, those results are pretty dramatic, in a good way. The 2020 election will show the determination in the minds of voters who is racist and practices racism, and who is not racist, and who does not practice racism. Those Americans will vote based on their knowledge. Political rancor and the creation of the racism ideological party in which to throw those with whom some disagree will not distract knowledgeable voters. Here's a bottom line. Even with all the distractions today, the anger and the vitriol thrown the president's way and watched by Americans all over the nation, voters in 2020 are going to return Donald Trump to the White House. And at least one or two or three or maybe even four of the squad are going to be sent packing by their constituents. Hey, it is vicious on Capitol Hill right now. We have the pulse of the government. We get it every day for you. Stay close. As it happens, you'll get it first here, and you'll get it truthfully here at Truth News Network. Until we get together again, have a great day. So long, everybody.
Real Truth, Real News, TNN, the Truth News Network.